Well, we shared a little bit last week about we really do need each other. And that hadn't changed. We still need each other. We talked about the life of God is brought to us and was manifested to us through Jesus' life on the earth and his moving into fellowship. And that experience of fellowship that we have with one another because of what he did. Am I echoing? Oh, I thought it was just my ears. And we talked about that. Thanks, Greg. And we want to share a little bit more about this. In your bulletin was a list of messages. I promised them last week, and I forgot them until this morning when I walked in, so... if you got a bulletin that, you know, I think I was a few short. I had to do stuff that Vicki would have normally done because I forgot to leave it. So. You know, I turned it on and it worked. I don't know what else I would have done. But you have some notes in there that Vicki prepared. And so I would encourage you to... You know, pull those out, follow through. Someone said last week that they took more notes last week than they had in a long time. And that's good to hear. By the way, I also want to mention, I want to thank everybody yesterday that said, I cleaned up pretty well when I put a suit on. Well, only one person walked in and said they didn't recognize me. So that wasn't too bad. So thank you. Take the glasses off so I can see. What's the quality of life within the fellowship? What's the life that's shared by all of us who are in Christ and who have sensed that forgiveness in our lives? The life we share together is one where we share a life of openness, life of honesty, and, ouch, a life of confession. That one hurts sometimes. When we, you know, have to, something's happened and, you know, and we need to confess with the God, but, you know, we may have offended someone. So we need to go to that person and let them know that what we did was wrong. So let's take a look at 1 John 1:5. What he says there is, this is the message we have heard from him and declare to you, God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Whoops. Too many moving parts here. There we go. So when we take a look at walking in the light of God, what does that really mean? Well, I guess if we could think about a big, huge sign before of us, this is God is light. I remember speaking years ago at seminary friend of mine. I worked for him. He painted houses. And he asked me to come down and speak to his youth group. And I remember it so vividly. I said, well, you know, what can you identify about your church? And he said, there's a neon sign in front of it that says open. And I thought for a second it was a restaurant. But you don't see that too often. But a sign like that that says God is light. There's not any darkness in him. None at all. No darkness, nothing that exists in God that is not light. That's not something new to Christians. It's not something, you know, that we've never heard before. He doesn't try to trick us. He doesn't hide from us. He doesn't try to play games with us. He doesn't fool around with us. He's pretty much told us right here what light is and what light's all about. I've heard people say, in the church I grew up in, say, if you say no to God, then you're doomed. There is no hope. But I don't believe that if God is a God of light. He's constantly shining onto us. So there's that statement like that can really have no truth to it. If we know God, and we know it's dangerous to say that, because sometimes it slows down how he wants to move in our lives and where he wants to take us, we have to put the brakes on, back up, and confess it. That, you know, I missed it then. And we do miss it. I mean, none of us are perfect. So as I said last week, we're all on this journey together. And so as we walk on that journey, we're going to identify things that happen. So God is a God of integrity. He's a God that we can totally trust. And He shines through, God shines through Jesus, who said, "I am the light of the world." God is the face of Jesus that we see, and where we see the light and we see the glory of God. But how do we deal with that when we're here in a broken world? Someone had mentioned about, you know, I was listening to a guy today who, and I like to listen to controversial people that I disagree with. And he was talking about sheep and goats. And he was talking about God's not in Iraq. Well, there are Christians in Iraq, and I'm sorry, but I totally disagree with the guy. But he's talking about, you know, sheep and goats and, you know, and the whole thing, and I agree with that. But there are people, and we hear about it, and we heard about a village that ISIS went in the other day and totally, I believe, killed 80 men and kidnapped women and children. Because what? They wouldn't turn to Islam. I don't think that's light when you really stop and think about it. So we look at God and we look at light. He's a God of integrity. Let's look at 1 John 6, 6, 2 through 1. And let's read this together. It says, "If we claim to have fellowship with Him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus His Son purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." First John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, He is full and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar, and His word is not in us. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But with the Father, Jesus Christ, righteous one." So what's he saying there? I think what he's saying there is that we live in a dark world. We live in a world that, you know, that there is sin. And if you notice and you look at that, he begins and he says, each section begins with, "If we say." If we say, and then followed, you know, when in that is followed by words of that indicate some type of denial, some type of rejection, or some type of ignoring, you know, that we're really human. So our quality of life does make a difference. If you look at, you know, the first part, he says, if we claim to have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie. That's pretty blunt. And it's not a lot of leeway right there with that. He goes on to say, if we claim we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar. So what he is saying there is that if we have sinned, we need to confess. Now, I grew up in a church that said that once you're saved and sanctified, you can't sin. But I think we can. We all make, you know, I mean, if we make a mistake, if we continue to make the same mistake, that's a little bit different. That's willful. But a lot of times we, unintentionally, things happen. Things happen within a fellowship. And so when that happens, God says, go to your brother. Go to your sister. You know, let's get it straightened out. I don't believe, you know, in that passage, John is speaking to any particular church or any particular church group. I think he's talking to all of us. Talking to all of us about fellowship. And you know, we've talked about, and we talked with the Pastor Parish Committee about growing. We talked a little bit the other night in the Administrative Council meeting about we need to grow. We need people to do the work, help with some of the stuff that goes on around here. I mean, I saw people scurrying around and, you know, in the kitchen yesterday. I'm thinking, that's the same people I saw the other day. So, you know, that's what we need to, you know, that's one of the reasons that we need to do that. We need to share that light with people. We know there's something about failure. We know there's something about disappointment. But what he's speaking to us about, and we know what it is to be human. We know what it is to be weak. We know what it is sometimes to fail. But he's talking to us in the context of a spirit-filled life, that we can, you know, sin's defined as miss the mark. We can miss it sometimes. And so what we have to do, and it's nothing more than saying, God, I'm sorry. You don't have to go back and start all over day one and go through confirmation again. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, pick up where you are and move forward and move on. Go do my work. Continue to do my work. He's not saying, you know, that we are total failures. We all know that there are broken homes, there are broken relationships. We all know that people suffer. We know that people hurt. We know that people are sick. That's just part of society, and it's part of what's been brought about by sin in our world. But Jesus brings the light of God into this world, because in him there's no darkness. 1 John 1:7 says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us of all sin. We all just read that. So what does it mean to walk in the light of God? If God is light, it means that God shines through us. It's kind of walking around with the roof of your life open, to where God can flow through us and meet the needs of other people. It's for me to walk. It's for each and every one of us to walk in the shining light of God. It means I'm walking again with my roof open. Let the light shine in. What was the Fifth Dimension song? Let the sun shine in. Was that it? I love that song. Maybe we get Greg to sing it here for us in a few minutes. You know? Get Lori to play it and Greg to sing it. But that's kind of what it is. It's let the light shine through us. Let the sun shine in. I think it's a great way to do that some Sunday. It means we open all the doors of our house. We open all the closets. We open all the rooms. And we say, come in and take a look at me. And is there anything in my life that is affecting my relationship, and by relationship with the fellowship? Because that's what it's all about. It's not about me, Cindy. It's really not about me. It's about growing. Okay, we're gonna do a series sometime on marriage. I'll be gone. First John 1:9 up there says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, I think is the King James Version. There's not a lot of King James Version verses I memorized, but I think that's the King James one. So confession and walking in the light are the results of living in the light. Walking in the light means living in openness and confession. The light that reveals is the light that cleanses us. Think about these statements. It's like defining behavior. That wasn't really worry. That was concern. How about that wasn't anger? That was just righteous indignation. Guilty? Don't raise your hand. That wasn't a lustful look. It was just an appreciative glance. Right? So to be open and honest is to be open to God and let Him to reveal Himself to us and heal us. Heal us spiritually. Heal us physically. The salvation message is the message of grace. And we're going to do a series on grace. And I've been reading a book. If you want to read a book that will make you stop and think, it's a book by William Farley called The Naked Gospel. And it will make you stop. I challenge you, if you get a chance, read the book. It's one of those things that you read a page, you back up, you think about it, and then you go back and read it again. Because I didn't get that. And I'm meeting with a friend of mine. We're doing an accountability group a couple times a month. And we're reading the book and we're talking about it. And he's talking about the grace versus the law. And so we're sitting there the other day and Jeff says to me, he says, well, what do we do about the Ten Commandments? It's the law. And I said, well, if we read a little bit further, you have to keep the law in mind, but grace says you don't want to kill somebody. The law says you don't want to, but that's what grace says. So anyway, we're going to do that sometime. It's not on the list yet. We'll figure out when we're going to do it, but I think it'll be worth, you know, taking a look at. Someone said, what he reveals, he heals. Because we are what? We are people of a free will. And so, if you know, when it says what he reveals, he heals, when he reveals it, we have to ask, we have to acknowledge, I missed it here. What he illumines, he cleanses. That's the salvation message, the message of grace. He says, if we confess, he'll forgive us. Confession is owning it, that it is the point of forgiveness. It's God's intention is not for us to start over, as I said, but to pick up there and move on. So we talk about fellowship and that type of thing. What does it mean to love? 1 John 3:11-18 talks about that. What we've been saying is that Jesus brings to us, into this world, the very life of God. It's a shared life of community. We're not going to have fellowship by ourselves. You know, I mean, we said last week, you know, just me and him on the Jericho Road, that isn't going to work long. Because we need unity, and we need to come together, and we need fellowship. Our spirits long for that. It isn't just, again, Jesus and me, because we really do need each other. God made us for a purpose. He has a mission for us. The life that we share is an experience, it expresses us outward into community to share His love. To go. To be someone. To be a light in that community. So 1 John 3:11-18 says, for this is the message you have heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Italics in here. Is there anyone you don't really love? Okay, italics removed. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brother's were righteous. Do not be surprised, my brothers and sisters, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love each other. Anyone who does not have love remains in death. Anyone who hates a brother or sister is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life residing in him. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and our sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words and speech, but with actions and truth. And I see a lot of love going on around here. I mean, you know, Jim mentioned yesterday, you know, and Grant's message about Bill. And people doing things for one another, and the love that you have for one another is just awesome. You don't find that in a lot of churches. You find people coming in and sitting down on Sunday and getting up and leaving. and then you don't talk to each other until next week. And you don't have that. And that's an awesome thing to build on. It really is. Because you don't have to go back and start over. So what does it mean to love? One thing I discovered, and this may seem a little paradoxical, and I haven't always been there, but you know, it's something I'm working on, is that when my son was killed, I began to love people and look at people in a different way. It was no longer, I'll share this with you. I was on a kind of a fast track of moving up with the company I was working for, and great career, and they approached me one day about taking this office over in Nashville. And so my question was, why? And they said, well, it's the worst office in the region. And man, it was bad. They had no results at all. So I thought about it, said, yeah, I'll do it. So I went down there, and it was in December of 1991. And they always did this Office of the Year award in 1990, for each year. And so in 1992, that office won the award for being the best office. Now, it wasn't anything that I did. It was what they did. I didn't handle a claim down there. I just kind of moved them along a little bit, you know, kind of give them a third foot. But they totally turned it around. And then my son was killed in 1993, and the guy I worked for said to me, and I will not tell you what I felt like saying to him, your performance changed after your son was killed. Right. It was all I could do to keep that five-letter word, grace, in front of me. And I got to thinking, it's not all about where I'm headed or what I want to do or, you know, what my goals are. And so I began to take a look at people that were, you know, that were in that office, and I felt like we're overworked, and we always had staffing issues, and you know, everything you could name it. But I got to appreciating them more, not for what they were, but who they were. Now, have I always been able to do that? No, it's a walk. Have I done things and said things since then that, you know, I wish I wouldn't have? But it changes your perspective on what love really is. And so what I found out, that when what the Bible says about God is love, doesn't mean a feeling. Doesn't mean a feeling at all. But what it means is God sent His Son for us. That's love. It doesn't get any better than that. It doesn't get any more meaningful than that. So you think about that, and that's what love really is. And so, I guess how, you know, when we see someone and they have a need, what do? I mean, it's all kinds of different needs out there. You know, all kinds of people have them. So, you know, I mean, what do with this? What it is that makes it possible for people to have long, enduring, caring, deepening, close, affectionate relationships with people without them growing dirty, without wife swapping, without becoming unclean and adulterated, is what love is. I know we have troubles. Sometimes things go wrong. But what makes it possible for couples, families, friends to love each other and to reach out to each other and touch each other for years and years without becoming polluted or bad or dishonest is that love that you have for one another. There's something precious about when we look at someone and say, I love you. And it's different when we say, I love you, thinking about what God did with His Son. changes it. Really does. Totally changes it. Here's another life-changing insight that's both old and new. I didn't come up with this one on my own. Love is commanded. Ouch. 1 John 4:21. And I always like to, you always like to reference Scripture because it's not me saying it. 1 John 4:21 says, "And He has given us this command, anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister." So we're commanded to do it. I met with the district committee on licensing. You have to do that every year. Not because they like me, but because it's a requirement. And we're sitting there this year, and after the meeting, I called my friend Jeff, and he said, "Who was on a committee?" And I told him, he said, "Oh man, you drew three bad ones." And I said, "Okay." So I'll be frank, honest, blunt, and candid with you. You know, we're friends. And so anyway, we get to talking about different things, and so they said, "Well, how do you feel about gays and lesbians?" And I said, "They're human beings. They're people. They need people to minister to them. Could you work with them?" I said, "Sure." That didn't mean I approve of the lifestyle, but I can work with them, and I can talk with them. And Cindy and I camp with a couple. You know, and I mean, we accept them just like we accept couples like us. And not a lot of couples like us around. But we do accept, but we do, I just keep looking over at Cindy to see if that's okay. They're human beings, and they need love, and they need fellowship, and they need somebody to encourage them. So that's, what do you know? If Christian love is restricted to those who have warm, fuzzy feelings about what we have, we've limited our world to a little group of people. Love is commanded, and it's like I'm making a willful choice that I'm going to move forward, and I'm going to love someone. Love behaves like Jesus means care for persons or persons. Love says, "I release you. I will not judge you. I'm moving into this one, and it's coming." That, because we all have a tendency to look at someone and compare things, and that becomes judging, and we don't want to do that. I have a twin brother, and I think I mentioned him last week. They told us we're twins. We don't look alike. We don't have the same interests. There's nothing like. I don't think, we do have a common birthday. Thanks, brother. But he will tell you I'm his younger brother. He was born 10 minutes before I was, but that's okay. But he went through some tough struggles probably about a year and a half ago. And it was a tough time for him. And we talked and I called him for 3 weeks about every night. Because one of the things about living in Northeast Missouri is phones do not make calls out. They only make them in. But anyway, I called him and talked to him every night about how he was doing and what was going on and I'm not going to get into what the issues were, but just trying to encourage him and talk to him. And he said something interesting one time, and I thought, I had never thought about that. But he said, "All of the stuff that I've done wrong in my life, you've never condemned me." Well, I told him, I said, "Who am I to condemn you? Really? We're not the ones that bring condemnation." And I thought about that, and I thought about that so much that it's kind of become a life principle I want to live by. Is, that's really not what we're here for. So love says, "I'm going to release you. I'm not going to judge you. I'm going to love you. That's what I'm going to do." In teaching 1 John, the love he speaks about is not so much directed toward God, but it's directed toward each other. Loving God is not vertical. Because he says, if you love me, feed my brother. If you find someone naked, clothe them. You guys do a great job of that, let me tell you. And that's what love is. We can sit on, you know, in these chairs all day and say, God, I love you. He's going to think, okay. Yeah, I think God has a sense of humor. He might even laugh at that, you know. But he's going to say, well, what about my commandments? What have you done to show love? Because we get in the habit of, you know, I love God, God loves me, so I love God and God loves me. It can be cyclical if we're not careful. But it's when we take that love that shines through us, because my roof is open, that's where he wants us to go and where he wants us to minister. Love is a strong word. It means when we say love, we're thinking of what Jesus did. We're sharing the love of Christ that comes out. God's love for us is defined by the giving of his son, Jesus. We love each other, and that's what the definition of love is his giving to us. So our love for each other behaves like Jesus. When someone needs from me, it's not all the answers, because I don't have them. I might have one or two. Cindy told me, she says sometimes she refers to me as Dr. Phil. But she never told me that before. But what it says is, when you look at it, is I see you, I know you're there. It's listen to your husband, look at him. Listen to your wife, look at her. Listen to your children, look at them. I got such a kick out of Katie this morning. She came in and showed me she's missing her two front teeth. Now, she put Jim through the test of trying to figure out what was different about her. So I think she likes me better. But she had my undivided attention on those teeth. And I tell you, Jim couldn't get away from her for nothing if he wanted to. So that's what, you know, what love is. It's giving that undivided attention. So one of the things that we want to take a look at just in closing is we really do need each other. And I promise you this will probably not be the last time I say that. But Christian fellowship is no place for someone to get in and get out. It's get in and get in. Get in and get in deeper. Because if we don't grow personally, we become stagnant. And if we're stagnant, there's nothing happening. I've often said that you're better off if you love someone or you hate someone than if you just don't care. Because if you hate someone, you can change. If you love someone, you can maybe do more for them. Or you can show them that love. So I think that's kind of an interesting concept. I don't think God's limiting us to help each other without finding those in need of fellowship and bringing them along. Sometimes we need to slow down. Sometimes we need to speed up. Sometimes we need to move at a faster pace. But what we need to do is do it together. If we need to slow down when we have a Southern Gospel song in a couple or 3 weeks, some of us will speed up. Some of us might slow down. So it's all of us. In love, in care, in support, in mutuality, we really do need each other. We have a closing hymn that we're going to do. And we're going to have a time of prayer. We're going to just kind of, when we sing this, and you feel like that you have a need in your life, whether it's a physical need, whatever it is. I was reading this morning in James, and he said, he said, if any of you are sick, I'd like to get my hand. This is love. I like to get my hands around the throat of the eye surgeon and just do nothing. He got my eyes so screwed up. Glasses can't even fix it. But he says, if there's any sick among you, come and be anointed. And the prayer of faith will save the sick. So if you have any type of thing tonight, today, that's concerning you or troubling you, feel free to come up. We'll have some people come up, pray for you. I haven't talked to anybody about that. But if you've got a need, God wants to meet your need, and He wants to go out of here. You go out of here a stronger part of the church.
Christianity is a full contact sport. Get in the game. Please stand and join us.
I want to walk as a child of the light. I want to follow Jesus. God set the stars to give light to the world. The star of my life is Jesus. Here when there is no darkness at all, the night and the day are both the light. The Lamb is the light of the city above. Shine in my heart, Lord Jesus. I want to see the brightness of God. I want to look at Jesus. God said the righteousness shine on my path and show me the way to the Father. In Him there is no darkness at all. The night and the day are both alike. The Lamb is the light of the city of God. Shine in my heart, Lord Jesus. I'm looking for the coming of Christ. I want to follow Jesus. When we have run with patience the race, we shall know the joy of Jesus. In Him there is no darkness at all. The night and the day are both alike. The Lamb is the light of the city of God. Shine in my heart, Lord Jesus.
Not understand someone, what they're doing, thinking, or the way they're acting. We don't have to understand them to love them. We don't have to agree with them to necessarily accept them. It's unconditional love that allows us to accept them and minister to their needs. I encourage you this week to go and bless someone's life. Encourage them. As we ask God to bless you and to bless your ministry with those people that you know and that you work with. Go in peace and have a great week. Love you, folks.